City, what is going on? This is the first episode of the regular season for the 2022-2023 regular season, and boy, do we have a good one. But first off, I got Fawad here with me. Fawad, I know you said you had something you wanted to talk about real quick, so I'm going to throw it over to Fawad real quick.
Yeah, the timing isn't great because we are starting off the season 4-0, but I wanted to start off the episode with a little bit of unfortunate news that I want to share. I don't remember if I've talked about it on this podcast before, but I live with my grandparents, and you know, their health has been up and down. And about 2 weeks ago, I think my grandma fell and fractured her femur, and she was in the hospital, and she was, you know, relatively stable, and she was nearing being discharged and coming back home. And all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, you know, within the span of like 30 minutes or an hour, her health rapidly deteriorated and she passed away. So I've just been dealing with that for the last few days, and it's been a huge shock for our family, and we're all just, you know, dealing with it. And I want to share that with you guys. So that's just what I've been dealing with lately. And this also affected my ability to watch the Blazers as much as, you know, I would want to, obviously, but I still caught a decent amount. So
yeah, I mean, first and foremost, we're sorry. Like, any kind of loss in family is tough. So first and foremost, like, thoughts and prayers to you and your family. I mean, I'm very close with my grandma, and I'm sure you're close with them as well. So I can only imagine what you're going through right now. So, you know, we're thinking about you, and we're praying that everything gets better for you guys, and your family kind of just huddles around each other, and, you know, just feels better.
Yeah, the whole like extended family has been over the past weekend, so that was, you know, that helped deal with the loss for sure. But all of a sudden, it just hit the whole family really hard.
Yeah, which is totally understandable. So we're gonna dedicate this podcast to your grandma. I don't actually even know what your grandma's name is. Do you wanna? What was your grandma's name?
It's a Pakistani name. It's Parveen. Parveen.
Parveen. Okay, well, this podcast is for Parveen tonight.
All right, let's move on to a lighter note and talk about some Blazers.
So
we're back with season 2 of the Unbiased Show Blazers.
That's right, season 2 kickoff right here. Well, I mean, if you're living under a rock and you don't know this, I mean, I'm gonna say this one time, and it's probably gonna be the only time because it's not a very big deal. It's not too crazy. Preseason looked really rough. We were a lot, you know, there was a lot of questions about, you know, what this team, the direction this team was going. And we're 4 games into the regular season, and just, you know, 4-0, won 4 games, beat the Lakers. Dame hit a game winner. Back-to-back 40-point games for Dame. Simon's going absolutely crazy. You know, first time we're 4-0 since 1999. So I believe Scottie Pippen was playing back then. But it's not a big deal. I mean, this is just 4-0. We do it all the time, right? 99. So let me ask you this, Fawad. Just right off the bat, did you, like, what, like, 4-0, like, what's your reaction to that?
I'm shocked. I'm confused as well. I have a lot of mixed emotions. You know, I expected us, I don't remember if I said it on the podcast or if it was on the Discord or Reddit, but I expected us to start the first 10 games either 3-7 or 4-6, mostly because I, you know, a lot of our rotation wasn't on the team last year, so I thought it would take us a while to gel. And, you know, a lot of our early games are against really tough teams that are, you know, going to be fighting for those top 4 seeds. So I thought we might have a slower start. Obviously, that hasn't happened, and we're starting 4-0. I've just been pleasantly surprised with with our start with a lot of key players, just overall pretty positive.
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna be a lot to take away from this. Like I said at the beginning, preseason was not promising, and there was a lot of questions about what was gonna happen. And although it's only four games, and I know it's early, and it's I don't know about you, but there is a massive change in what we saw in preseason and what we're seeing right now. I mean, like a
100%. It's
clear,
night
clear
and day.
change. Say that again.
It's night and day.
Oh yeah, like it you. Without a doubt, last night's game against the
Like
Nuggets was one of the most enjoyable, exciting games to watch. It literally had a little bit of everything. That's what I kept saying, is like this game had a little bit of everything. And we're gonna get into that game. We're gonna get into all the games a little bit. So, but just 4-0 to start the season off. I mean, we're the only undefeated team in the West. The Bucks are the only undefeated team in the East, and they've only played two games. So 4-0 is one hell of a way to start the season. And,
I actually said yesterday that win was one of my favorite regular season wins probably ever. Like you said, it had a little bit of everything. Dame was going off. Simons obviously had his insane third quarter, which we'll obviously talk about more in a bit. Like just everything. It had defense. It had excitement. It was a home game, so the crowd was insane. So satisfying.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
it was against the Nuggets too,
and
who
yeah,
I like
against the
hate with every
Nuggets.
fiber of my being.
Yes. So, let's go ahead and let's jump into we won't spend a lot of time on a couple of these just 'cause there wasn't a lot to talk about, but we're going to talk about a couple things that more importantly. The first game was against the Kings opening night, or not opening night, but opening night for us was against the Kings. It started out like how preseason started, where we were just giving up open threes. De'Aaron Fox was lighting us up from 3-point range. There was one other person that was hitting a ton of threes. Now I can't remember who it was, but mainly De'Aaron Fox was just,
Was Herder.
yes, Herder. Thank you. They were just hitting three after three, and they were up. If I remember right, they were up decently at halftime, if I remember right.
I don't remember
Or no,
exactly.
actually, we might have even been. No, I take it back. I think we were up now that I think about it. But this was our first game where we saw the starters like really play all the minutes, play normalized minutes. And someone we're gonna talk about a lot, actually two people we're gonna talk about a lot tonight. This is our first regular season game of Jeremy Grant. And this game in particular was it was in my opinion one of his best games so far. He's had some good honestly he's had a good game every night, but I
Yeah,
think
he's been very consistent.
Yeah, I think this game was his best game. He finished with 23 points. We already know he's like we've already said this hundreds of times. His defense is so good, and it's like an undervalued part of his game. But do you have before we start talking about Jeremy Grant, do you have anything about this game that you recall that you wanted to talk about?
I don't remember exactly if not, it's not for this game specifically, but honestly, for the first three games, we started off 3-0. But when I was thinking about doing this podcast, I was kind of like, we're 3-0, but there's so much stuff in these wins that I didn't like. And I was like, there's a lot of things that we need to work on. Obviously, that fourth game silenced a lot of my concerns, but like you said, our defense wasn't great in that first game. Our offense, through those first three games, it was not good. And Dame won't struggle in the first game as well, but I wasn't too concerned about that specifically. But the first three games, I felt there was a lot of things that we needed to work on.
Yeah, my honest this here here's my biggest takeaway from the first game. Chauncey Billups
I know what your takeaway is going to be, but go ahead.
coached a very good game. He made substitutions, he made smart substitutions, and at one point Nurkic was struggling this game. This was a bad game for Nurkic. The fourth quarter, I don't think Nurkic played at all. We were going small ball fourth quarter. Justice Winslow comes in, plays great defense, rebounding. Like I said, Jeremy Grant super consistent. Lillard kind of had an off night. Simons had an off night, and that was kind of a trend this the first couple games for Simons. He's kind of had an off shooting so far. The start to his season was kind of a little hit or miss, actually a lot of miss, but there was some hits in there as well. But I have to give props to Chauncey that the decision to go away from Nurkic and bring in Winslow, very, very, very impressed. And honestly, it didn't seem, I think probably because we won, but it didn't seem like Nurkic was that bothered by it. I don't know what your opinions were on Chauncey's decisions that game, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, that was actually one of the games I caught least of, because that was actually the night that my grandma passed. But of the, you know, of the parts I did watch, I liked a lot of the rest of our team. You know, Dame struggled, but everyone else was playing well, except for, you know, Nurk. We had 6 guys in double figures, 3-4 guys between 19 and 23. So it was balanced scoring. And, mm-hmm. you know, Chauncey, I think when he first got hired, one of the things he talked about was he doesn't want the entire offense to be Dame. And that definitely showed not only in that first game, but like throughout the whole season so far. So good thing it wasn't just that first game where it was a balanced approach, but that carried forward as well. So that was good to see.
Yeah, and we also got our first regular season minutes of Shaedon Sharpe, and he did not disappoint. He had 12 points, hit 3 threes. I mean, he was so far this season, Shaedon Sharpe has been more than I expected, and I'm so happy that it's working out so far defensively and offensively. He's been, as a rookie, like, there's not, and as a rookie that has no, like, previous tape that you can go off of, I have been so pleased with what I've seen from him, so I hope it continues.
Yeah, 100%. Way more polished than I expected. And like you said, his defense was better than I expected as well. You know, most rookies are, you know, pretty bad defensively. It's not like, if he was bad, it wouldn't have been on him, just the inexperience. But for being a rookie, I liked his defense.
Yeah, and then last thing I wanted to touch on was just what we talked about, Jeremy Grant. This whole season so far, Jeremy Grant has, even in the preseason, Jeremy Grant has been, to me, the most consistent and, like, just giving you everything offensively and defensively. So let's talk about Jeremy Grant real quick before we go into the other games. That game was, I think, his highest scoring game with 23. He actually rebounded very well in that game as well. I don't have it on the top of my head, but I know it was at least like 7 or 8 rebounds.
It was 8.
8 rebounds, okay. So I think he had 2 steals. It's crazy that I can remember it, but I think he had 2 steals as well. But I know we were big on Grant from the get-go. I know there was a lot of people that were excited for him, and there were some people that didn't think he was, like, that he was a good player, but he didn't really help move the needle at all. I tell you right now, the 4 games I've watched of him, he's moved the needle. I mean, there's one other player we're going to talk about in a little bit that I think's moved it even more, but Grant has been so nice to watch, such a nice addition to the team. So go ahead, take it away, Fawad. What you got with Jeremy Grant?
Yeah, I was, you know, thinking about this podcast, I was like, I'm going to probably sound kind of arrogant today because I'm going to be tooting my own horn a lot. I've been saying that Jeremy Grant would be such a good fit for our team, you know, well over a year. I think the start of last season, maybe the off season before that, I've been saying, you know, he's a scoring threat from the 4 position, which we haven't had in so long. He's a great defender. You know, he just fills almost all of our needs. And that's been, you know, that's been showing 100%, 110% throughout the 4 games so far. And the one thing that I didn't expect was his consistency. He's been good in every single game. His driving game is really good. Like, he attacks the basket and scores consistently, you know, basically at will. I don't want to get into the other games too much, but he obviously had that game winner where he drove in on LeBron and AD. And then even against the Nuggets, I don't remember what quarter it was, but they strung together like maybe 6-8 points. And then Jeremy Grant just came in and drove in right away and ended that Nuggets run. So, you know, that first game against the Kings, definitely he played good. And again, he's been consistent since then too.
Yeah, I mean, let me just give you one stat right here. Right now, he is shooting 50% from 3 And he has shot, I think, at least three threes a game. So 50% from three in four games. And what's crazy is he has been getting these passes where the pass is kind of high up towards his head.
Yeah.
And he's not even like setting his shot. He's just catching it at his head and shooting it from there. And he's made almost every single one of them. I mean, it's just such a quick shot. And he hasn't done his baseline, you know, pump fake baseline dunk yet. He's tried a couple times. He hasn't, unfortunately, got it yet. But like, I mean, there's not enough good things we can say. I don't honestly think there's a single bad thing I could say about him yet. I mean, he's played so well for us and he's so consistent on both ends of the floor. So.
Yeah, and we predicted pretty much all of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player to have on your team. So let's move on to the next game real quick. We got the first home game of the night. This was an enjoyable game. The Suns came to the Moda Center, even though I don't like it. We still call it the Rose Garden, but
the Rose Garden.
They came to the Rose Garden and. That was a fun game, and that was a game that I thought that we would win just because it was our first home game, and I'm glad we pulled it out. It went into overtime, but that was a very enjoyable game, and that was the first game that we had of Dame going for 41. I mentioned earlier he went back-to-back 40-point games, so this was the first game, 40 points. This is the Lillard we're used to seeing, like just hitting three after three, creating for himself, creating for others. Not missing at the free throw line. Grant didn't have as big of a game offensively, but defensively had a very big game. Nurkic, here's what I'm going to say. Everyone was hating on Nurkic that first game, and, you know, I'm not going to say he deserved it, but, like, the way he played that first game, people were, like, already like this. We got to move on from him. The last three games he has played so well defensively. Offensively, there's times when he's still missing his layups and finishing at the rim. But defensively and getting rebounds, he has been stellar at that. He, even though Ayton had, I think, 26, it was a tough 26. Nurkic played very good defense on him. I mean, he was contesting a lot of shots. Ayton was making them, and that's all you can ask for is if you just contest. Nurkic had 20 points this game. He had 17 rebounds, which, like that right there, 20 and 17. I'll take that any day, every day.
And he shot well from the free throw line too.
Actually, he's been shooting very well from the free throw line this year, so far. And I know last year was kind of hit or miss with him, but Simons kind of had a tough game. He was 2 of 8 from three. Not much I could think of on that game. There's been a couple plays on defensively that I've seen Simons kind of step up and make some good plays, and there was a couple in this game that he did. At one point, I remember him contesting a shot from Devin Booker towards the end of the game from, like, behind or from the side of him. I can't remember. And I think, honestly, that's what caused Devin Booker to miss a pretty easy shot that he makes consistently. So there's some signs there that Simons is, you know, buying into the defense a little bit more. One thing I wanted to say about this game is this is the first game where we had Nasir Little come in and it looked like he kind of settled down and kind of let the game come to himself, and he wasn't forcing things, and he had 9 points and he only missed one shot. He hit a three, played pretty decent defense from what I can remember, but this was a fun game. It went into overtime. Chris Paul didn't really do much, so that was good. And like I said, Damian Lillard was making the shots when we needed him to. Is there anything you wanted to talk about on this one?
Honestly, this game, you know, I think you just covered anything important. I think let's move on to the one that, you know, that everyone was really looking forward to, the one against the Lakers. One of the sweet.
Yes, very, very much so. So this is the game that was 12:30 in the afternoon. It was early. We ended up winning by 2 points, a game winner. You already mentioned it, by Jeremy Grant. But this is the game where this is someone we've been wanting to talk about and we're excited to talk about. First off, Damian Lillard, this is the second game, 41 points again, hitting big threes, made a go-ahead three at the end of the game, and then we had a defensive breakdown that we're going to talk about in a little bit, and then Grant hit the game winner. But for me, without a doubt, this is one of the craziest games I've seen from a guard that isn't affecting the game necessarily by scoring. Josh Hart, this dude is quickly becoming one of my favorite players of all time for the Blazers. I mean, I love Wesley Matthews. I love Lillard. Josh Hart is moving up there quick. This dude is 24/7 hustle, energy, running up and down the court. This guy is 6'5", and he is averaging over 10 rebounds a game right now, more than most centers in the league. This game alone, he had 16 rebounds. I mean, he's pushing the tempo when he gets the ball. He can knock down any open three. He plays very good defense. He's guarding guys bigger than him, guarding guys faster than him. I mean, without a doubt, this is something that we said from the get-go with him. He is the dude that you want on your team if you want to win games. Like, he makes every little play that doesn't show up on the stat line, and he makes every play that does show up on the stat line. I know the thought right now is that we have to pick between Grant and Hart, but there has to be a way that we can get both, because I don't want to lose Hart. I don't want to lose Grant. There's not enough good things I can say about Hart. I mean, last year we saw him, when he needs to score, he scored 40. He can literally do everything. He's a Swiss Army knife. Plug him in any position, he's going to play it, and he's going to play it hard, and he's going to play it well. He's running the offense just as much as Dame is at times, where Dame's off ball and running around. It's just, I could sit here and talk forever about Josh Hart right now. It's just, if you do not like Josh Hart, I don't know how you like basketball if you don't like Josh Hart. That's the slogan. If you don't like Josh Hart, you don't like basketball. So what's your opinions on Josh Hart, and then also the game itself? I know I didn't talk much about the game, but just go ahead, all of it, go for it.
The entire summer, we talked about Josh Hart almost every single episode, maybe even every single episode, and we were like, he's such a big part of this team. He does everything. He's a great rebounder, and every single thing we said on this podcast, he has shown like 110% in every single game. He can hit, like you said, he can hit the open shot. He pushes the pace. His dribbling has honestly been even better than I expected. He can attack the rim. He's pushing, every single fast break. He's running down the floor. His rebounding for, what'd you say he was, 6'5"? It's unbelievable how good of a rebounder he is. And he's a good passer too. And honestly, that might be like my only minor complaint. He's sometimes a little too passive. Like, he could have an easy bucket, but he'll try to find someone else. But, that one negative is arguably a good thing in and of itself. So many good things I can say about him. He does still score, though. He's averaging 11 points, which is respectable from what, fourth, fifth option. He's done everything that we need him to do. And he's probably my second favorite player on the team now. And, I laughed when he first said one of your favorites of all times, but I kind of see it. I think he can get there for me too. Give it like three more games, I'll probably be saying that too.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I don't want to like quote this because I don't know exactly who it was from, but it was talking about, like, obviously this is so early in the season, but the top five MVPs right now, like with the three games that had happened at the time, both Lillard and Josh Hart were on the top five. I don't remember who it was from, so like, it might not even be from like an extremely credible source. But just the idea that the league is kind of taking notice that even though Josh Hart's not scoring 40 points a game, he's doing so much more that's affecting the game. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I honestly don't think we win any of these games without Josh Hart. I mean, he's affecting the game so much that you can't even, like, unless you're sitting there and really paying attention to it, you don't even realize how much he's affecting the game. The biggest thing, I think, is years past, we've always heard we're going to be like a up-tempo team and we're going to push the pace. This is the first year where I'm like, yeah, we are pushing the pace. We're up-tempo. How many times have we seen like full court passes to someone just streaking down the court to get a layup? Like, alley-oops to Shaedon Sharpe, like just so much is happening, and it's so fun to watch. And we're gonna get a little bit more into it here in just a second, but Is there anything on this game in particular that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, it was the Basketball Reference MVP tracker that you were talking about, where he was, I think, fifth or sixth at the time. I just checked right now. He's still eighth, and Dame is number one. So,
and rightfully so right now.
Early in the season, but I think historically it's pretty good. Their calculator, I think their number one, whatever you want to call it, like through their system, whoever's number one, I think usually they're number one or two in the league as well. So, but again, it's just early on. So,
yeah.
He's Josh Hart's just been incredible. We can, like you said, we can talk about it for hours on end.
Was there anything on the Laker game itself that you wanted to talk about?
Honestly, no. Like I said, a lot of people were looking forward to it. I personally, it was against the Lakers. We were at home, against Russ and Patrick Beverley. There was no doubt in my mind from the day of, before the game started, that we were gonna win that game. So that was a fun win for me, but I wasn't too stressed about the outcome because I knew we were gonna win that game. It was a lock.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, this is the game where Dame hit a three to put us up. We had a defensive breakdown where LeBron literally just could walk down the middle of the lane and he had the easiest dunk he's ever probably had. And then with like 7 seconds left, Jeremy Grant gets a game-winning layup. I think they only had like, 2 seconds to score and they didn't score. Something like that. I mean,
I think so.
Jeremy Grant, game-winning layup the night before. I think Dane, or who was it that hit to give us the lead? We forgot to talk about this. The Phoenix game, if you haven't seen it, it's so funny to see. We fouled Ayton. Nurkic fouled Ayton towards the end of the game for him to shoot two free throws to tie the game up. And while the game's going on, Lillard is literally standing next to Ayton talking to him. And the quote was that Lillard said to him, "Have you ever been in this situation before?" And Ayton didn't say a thing. He didn't say anything. He just was sitting there. And you can see Dame kind of back off and walk towards the three-point line and just say, "Hell no, like he ain't making these." And the very first free throw he misses, clanks it off the front. And then he, of course, had to miss the second one. And honestly, Phoenix had a chance to tie the game up. They got the offensive rebound and just missed an easy shot, but...
Yeah.
It was so funny seeing him say that, and it's not something we always see from Dame, but we definitely know he does talk. So, but it was funny to see. Hell no, he ain't making these. did you want to add anything?
No, I just love that super simple trash talk. And that actually reminds me that hell no, Nurk was going off in the Lakers game as well. He waved off Russ, I think, twice, and then like an 80 shot, he didn't even look towards him. He was just like, okay, he started running back.
Yeah, without a doubt, the Lakers might be the worst shooting team ever. I mean, it is bad how bad they are at shooting. But we're gonna get to defense here in just a second, but I want to talk about the game last night. How I wish I was at this game. It was against the Nuggets. Without a doubt, one of the craziest sequences I've seen in a long time. Thankfully, like we said earlier, this game had a little bit of everything. We started off slow. We were losing. Denver was playing well. Jokic got into foul trouble pretty much right away. We made a little comeback right at halftime. We were only down like 5 or 6 or something like that. And then from halftime on, it was just us just hitting every shot, making all these defensive stops. Jokic was pretty much in foul trouble the entire game. He only had 9 points, I think. I think he only shot four times.
Until like the last 2 minutes, points, and then
he only shot 4 times. I mean, this game, before we even get into it, this game had, like I said, so much. There was so much going on in this game. So let's get to the man of the hour last night. If you haven't heard already, Simons went absolutely nuclear in the third quarter. I mean, we've seen Dame do some pretty crazy things. The game 5 against Denver was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen. But Simons at one point in the third, well, first off, Simons in the third quarter had 22 points, if that tells you anything. But at one point, 6 out of 7 possessions, he shot the ball. So one possession he passed, I think, to Jeremy Grant. Of those 6 possessions that he shot the ball, every single 3 he took went in. He hit 6 threes in a row as 6 straight possessions. Like, I'm pretty sure it was 6 straight. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. If not, it was very close to 6 straight. He was hitting. At one point, he even admitted he didn't even look at the rim. He just shot the ball and it went in. It was insane. He literally, like, the crowd was going absolutely insane. You literally could feel it through the TV, like people just losing their minds. Our Discord was going crazy with people just... It's so funny when we're on Discord talking with everybody because everybody's kind of watching the game at different points. Like, there's like people that are 5 seconds behind. There's people that are like pretty much caught up. There's people that are like 30 seconds behind when we're not streaming. So we're all just kind of talking at the same time but talking about different plays. But you couldn't tell we were talking about different plays because every single play was, oh my god, he made it again, oh my god, he made it again. And it was just like, it was madness. And I was so wish I was there. It was such a fun experience to watch, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. It was just insane. Lillard's biggest smile, Nurk's like making fun of how crazy it is. I mean, there was nothing Denver could do. It just, for the first time this season, Ant had a great shooting night, and he was just letting it fly, and it was going in. What was your experience with that game last night?
Yeah, like you said, if we were in person, that would have been just one of the craziest experiences ever. But even, you know, talking through the Discord was so fun, just having everyone else freak out at the same time. You know, my reaction was kind of like that one meme where you have, like, that guy. I think he's from, like, WWE. I don't know his name. I don't watch wrestling too much, but he's, like, know, the first one, he's like, he's a little bit impressed, you know, that was Ant's first 3, and then just collectively he like starts losing his mind more and more. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but that was me. Like, first two threes even, I was like, okay, finally he's starting to hit a couple. Then the third one was like 30 feet out, and I was like, yeah, what, that was insane. And then, you know, they just kept getting more and more ridiculous. Like, he just caught the ball, put it up, he got fouled on one of them, they didn't even call it.
Yep.
And then another one, I think he had like a step back, fade away. I don't know. He was just hitting every type of shot you could possibly think of. Not all of them were catch and shoot. He was creating his own shots too. So it was just one of the best quarters I've ever seen from anyone. Definitely one of the best 6-minute stretches. At 22 points in 6 minutes. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend who's a Warriors fan, and I was like, this almost kind of reminds me of Klay Thompson, like, scoring. I for some reason, I thought it was only 28. I was like, it just reminds me of when Klay went 28 points. And he's like, no, it was 37. And I was like, okay, yeah, never mind. It's not even close to that.
Yeah, obviously, that's the best ever. But, you know, after that, I think it's probably in, like, the top 5.
So me, this is totally off topic, but I want to ask you this. I want to get your opinion. So me and him were talking about that, and I was talking about how crazy the Klay Thompson thing was. 60 points, 11 dribbles, 37 in that one quarter, right? Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What do you think is more likely to happen again? A stat line like that where it's like 60 points and, like, you know, 11 rebounds, or 11 dribbles or 15 dribbles, something crazy like that, or someone score 100 points? Which one do you think is more likely to happen again?
What's more likely? I think definitely the 60 with, you know, like, a few dribbles. I think 100 is insane. I think Booker got 70 a couple of years ago, but what's the most other than that, like 62 or something like that?
Kobe, you know, had 81.
It's been like 15 years probably since then.
Yeah, so and see, even I'm that on is the like opposite a nice side.
20 points away.
Yeah, I'm on the opposite side. I don't know if anyone will ever be able to do what Klay Thompson did, like 11 dribbles and you get 60 points. It's just insane. Just insane. And I think he only played 3 quarters.
Was that the same game?
That's the same. I think he only played 3 quarters. I could be wrong. I'm not the biggest Warrior watcher.
You might be right, actually.
But like 60 points, 11 dribbles, and 3 quarters. I don't think you will ever see that again. Like, that is just, and I still don't think we'll ever see 100 again. It's possible, but I don't think we will. Enough on that. I thought it was something quarters. We were talking about. Yeah, that was crazy. Both of them are crazy. Simons was crazy last night. So many different nicknames all of a sudden be thrown out. I saw Anfernus.
I saw
Anfernus. There we go. Thank you. Anferno. That was the other one. Yeah, and then there was someone ant. Called him a fire ant. Yeah. I think someone in the broadcast called him fire ant. Lots of names.
Yeah, lots of nicknames.
But such a fun game. We absolutely smacked Denver 135-110, which a lot of us thought this was a game we were going to lose because it was on a back-to-back. It was against Denver, who's a good team. But Nurkic played very good defense on Jokic. Someone we haven't talked about at all yet, but we're going to talk about here in just a second. Eubanks played pretty well. He made some pretty good plays defensively. He's made a couple good plays defensively throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Once again, Josh Hart, 11 rebounds. The one issue you said, the only knock that we have is like he's a little passive offensively. Like he doesn't want to shoot. It doesn't seem like he wants to shoot as much as he should. There's a lot of times he had wide open shots and he passed up on it. Grant had another good game, 21 points. Simon's scoring 22 points in the third quarter still was not enough to be the leading scorer of the game. Dame still had 31 points, and Dame was just as efficient as Dame anyone was
ridiculously
else.
Ridiculously efficient. It was insane. Yeah.
I mean, these four games have been the most enjoyable four games. Like, you just kind of get a little drama, but you still get, like, a win at the end.
And Dame had, like, what, like 10 assists in that game, too?
Eight assists, yeah. I mean, it's been... Without a doubt, this is the best Dame started, and you can tell he's like, this is what's crazy. He's been hurt for so long, and then he's 32, I believe, and we're seeing this now. Like, it's just shows you how good he is. But one takeaway from this game that I wanted to talk about: in years past, not just last year, but years past, we get a lead like this, you know, maybe it's in the second or third quarter where we're up 20 points. How many times have we seen that lead go from 20 points to a tie game or 2 points and like, or even the other team taking the lead more than I even want to admit that we've seen this game. After halftime, we got the lead. We kept just adding to the lead and we never let them get back. I think the closest it ever got was like 14 or 12 points. And it just never got any closer than that. It was so refreshing to see everyone was stepping up. They weren't like just coasting. Everyone was still pushing the ball. We got some garbage minutes from everybody. We got some Jabari Walker. We got Greg Brown. It was such a fun game to watch.
Jabari played like when we 2 minutes, but I loved what I saw from him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we say it literally had everything, it had everything.
Greg Brown had some, you know, decent plays, but it didn't have his highlights, you know, like a signature dunk.
He didn't have a dunk, but he did have a nice reverse layup that I was surprised by.
That was nice.
But yeah, someone we wanted to talk a little bit about, give a little shout out to, Drew Eubanks. I'm just going to say real quick and then I'll let you go for it. He's the type of player that he's a high energy guy. He's going to give you, like, without a question, there's no question in his effort. He's going to give you 100%. Sometimes he makes very good plays when he's given 100%. Other times, it's even though he's given 100%, it's just not enough because he's not as skilled as other players. But so far, playing backup center, I have been okay with it. I still don't think it's the best idea to have him be your backup center, but so far he's held his ground, he's held his own, made big plays, got offensive rebounds, got some blocks. There's nothing I can't say, like I can't hate on what he's done. I don't think it's the best idea in the future, but for right now he's more than held his own.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest question marks heading into the season was the backup center position. And I think, like you said, he's held his own. I've had virtually no complaints. He's been defending well. He hasn't been scoring a ton, but I think, you know, when he does shoot, it's a high percentage shot or it's a putback or something like that. I've just been impressed with him. He's played a decent amount too. I thought he'd play like maybe 8 to 10 minutes. He's probably been playing around like 15.
He's averaging 14 right now.
Yeah, and he's definitely played well in those minutes. And even when he's not playing, and Winslow is the backup center, I think he did a good job too. So I think the backup center position, you know, the concerns about it, for now, I think they can be settled down a little bit.
Well, and here's another thing is Winslow has been playing when Nurkic goes out, it's usually Winslow coming in for him, Eubanks, everyone, you know, filling in as well. This last game against Denver, we didn't have Winslow, so that even was a more worrisome because of Jokic and Michael Porter Jr., and it didn't even matter. I mean, Eubanks played well. We all stepped up. Everyone made plays when they needed to. it just, the game was so fun to watch. And like I said, like we both said, one of our most favorite games to watch. That game was just, it was so fun. And talking with everybody in Discord was fun. Seeing the funny stuff, people reacting to everything. Like, I'm telling you right now, guys, if you're listening and you're not in Discord, you're missing out.
There's so much fun stuff.
There is so much fun stuff that goes on in Discord. So many jokes, so many like things that actually make you go, yeah, that's actually a good point. It's just, if you're not in Discord, get in there. Let us help you contribute to the talking. It's so fun in there. One thing though, before we kind of get ready to close out, one thing I wanted to talk about. Defensively, we know defense has been our biggest issue in years past. So far, defense has looked much improved. I think last I saw, we were, was it top five or was it top 10 in defense?
Top 10, and we were ninth after the fourth.
Okay.
Ninth in offense, ninth in defense.
You tell me right now, would you take ninth on defense right now? Like in years past, could you imagine how good we would have been if we were top 10 in defense back then? Like, I know it's four games. I know it's early. We've been playing very good defensively. This is the one thing I've kind of seen a lot of, and it's something that can easily be fixed. And it probably just goes with getting, like, playing more together. It's the team trusting these players to be able to guard one-on-one. There's been a lot of times where it looks like Shaedon Sharpe has been beat defensively. And Shaedon Sharpe's so athletic and can jump. He even if it looks like he's behind on the play, he's not. And there's been times where Nurkic has slid over and tried to help, and he doesn't need to help. And the commentators have made these same things, same statements I'm making, so I don't feel like I'm too crazily off. But we have to trust in our defense that I don't mind Nurkic trying to help out, but it does put Nurkic in bad positions sometimes. It does cause Nurkic to foul other players because he's trying to help and then recover. I know it's something we talked about before, but I think Sharpe has done it a couple times where he's made up the ground, and even if Nurkic didn't help, he would have contested the shot. The same with Jeremy Grant, the same with Josh Hart. I think it's just all more playing time, more trusting the system, more seeing that these players can, you know, we're so used to having to help constantly. And on it, let's be honest, Dame is as much improved defensively this year. Simons has done much better defensively. I know that's like, I know when we say much improved, it's not like when you're already very bad, it's like not hard to be much improved, but it's good to see that you got Lillard still, you know, very good post defender, which is crazy. It's just, defense has looked good. There's just little minor things that kind of make you go, oh, I wish Nurkic wouldn't have helped right there. I wish they would just let Shaedon, you know, defend that, or let Jeremy try to make up for it. But other than that, I don't really have complaints on defense. We've played pretty well defensively.
Yeah. I think you summed up most of it pretty well. But what I kind of want to shift it a little bit over, it's been four games. So how lasting do you think this is?
If you want the honest answer, the unbiased answer, I don't think it is. I think we are playing very good basketball, free basketball, you know, high-energy basketball. I don't think it lasts. One of my biggest issues that I've seen so far is I hate when we go zone defense. And I know that's, they're trying to cover up, you know, the defensive liabilities with Lillard and Simons, but you we're talking NBA players. I think the only team you can play zone against right now is the Lakers. And funny enough, we hardly played zone against them, it seemed like. Like, I kept saying, why are we not playing zone defense and just letting these guys try to shoot threes because they can't make them? I don't think it's sustainable. I think legitimately our best, where we're going to end up towards the end of the season, is like 18th in defense, which I'll take 18. But if we're going to continue the way we're playing, let's just put it this way. If we're going to continue the way we're playing defensively, how are we not like NBA champions at the end of this? Like, we're playing insane on, like, offense, honestly, has been our biggest issue. Yeah. We've been more inconsistent offensively than we have defensively, I feel. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I totally agree.
So we all know offense is not the issue. So the fact that we're struggling more offensively than defensively just tells you how crazy we're playing right now. So realistically to me, I would say we're probably like by the end of the season, 18th. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not buying in too much into this four games so far, especially defensively. I think I'm a little higher than you. I think we can get to around 15, maybe slightly higher.
I didn't take Gary Payton into consideration.
Oh, honestly, yeah, I forgot about him too.
I would say somewhere 18, 17, 16, I would say, yeah.
I think I'm expecting probably around like 17, 18, and I think we can get as high as like 12. I just don't think, top 10, top 9. I'm not expecting it. I still think it's within the realm of possibilities. I'm just not keeping my hopes up too high. Four games is, it's been four good games against good teams mostly, but I think it's 10 to 20 games is when we can see these yes. changes have lasted. So four very exciting games, but not enough sample size yet.
I think after 10 games, we'll kind of get an idea of where we are in general. And then after 20, the adjustments that we've made will tell us like where we really are. And after 20, that kind of gives you a good sample of what this team's going to be. But yeah, I think I'm very much enjoying what we're seeing right now. And if it continues, I see a parade going down in Portland very soon, because it's been very fun to watch and it's very encouraging and it's so nice to have, because we haven't had this in so long. But one thing before we wrap up, we asked very late, so I'm very shocked by how many questions we got. We asked if anyone had any questions, topics they wanted to talk about. First things first, I want to shout out, his name isn't necessarily a name, so we got IID, IIO, IIR, IIO, II. He has been helping us with streaming these games, so if you are having issues watching games, either one of us or the person I just said with the insane name, has been trying to stream as many games as we can so people can watch. I know Root Sports has kind of messed with a lot of people, and I hear that League Pass has kind of messed with the VPN issues, so people that can't watch have been blacked out, and we try to stream as many games as we can, so I just want to shout him out for helping us stream when we can't. But with that being said, the questions. Area 50, he asked us a question, and it's a very good question. It's a very important question. What happens if Nurk goes down? So Fouad, what's your thought? What happens if Nurk goes down?
I just talked about how four games is very little sample size. But after these four games, I'm a little bit more confident about, our situation if Nurk does go down between Eubanks and Winslow and maybe even Grant for like very little stretches. I think they might be able to hold their own. Ideally, we still sign another center like Boogie or Dwight Howard. But I think we can rely on Eubanks and Winslow for, longer stretches than I would have thought before the season started.
Yeah, I think if he goes down just for a little while, I think we're okay. I think we can manage or at least make do. If it's a long injury or a season injury, then things get a little worrisome. I do think if that were the case, that we're definitely making some kind of move for a center at some point. I know we signed John Butler. Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
7'1". So if you guys have not seen John Butler, let me just, have you ever seen a stick from a tree? Because that's about as big as he is. I mean, he is so skinny. And hey, 7'1", and to be that skinny, he has some skill. He's a good, from what I've seen, he's a good 3-point shooter.
But yeah, I don't know. We signed him to our two-way, and then our other two-way is Olivier Sarr.
Which honestly, Sarr's looked pretty decent, honestly.
Yeah, he has, but he's a center in Portland. Obviously, he got hurt.
Yeah, right after he signed his two-way contract, they come out and say he has a wrist injury, and that was it. And then all of a sudden, we see him in a cast, And then all of a sudden we see in 6 weeks we'll reevaluate. So I think what did he do? Did he fracture something in his wrist? Do you remember?
Honestly, I don't remember.
I think he fractured something in his wrist, but I could be wrong. So the big man curse happens again. Like I said, Butler's 7 foot. I think he's 7'1", and I think he probably weighs 150 pounds. When he was standing on the sideline, I was like, that's John Butler, and he looks so crazy. Like, honestly, he looks like Slender Man. He's so tall and skinny and just long, and I don't think we'll see any of him. I would be surprised if we do. So, Area 50, thank you for the question. I do think if Nurk goes down, it just kind of depends on how long he's down for, what happens. But I think if it's for short term, I think we're okay. Long term, we're definitely looking at Cousins, Howard, or making some kind of trade to get another center. Because if Nurk goes down for a long time again, I think everyone's worries of him being injury prone is going to be kind of confirmed. I'm not 100% on that train yet, but if it happens again where it's a long term injury, yeah, I might be on that train. Another question we had from Keith from the Trailcasters. Shout out, Keith. Does last night's game from Simons change what you think of his potential, given he did that with the talent surrounding him as opposed to last year where it was just all about him? So I'm going to come out and say this because I know I've at least talked about like saying it's just CJ 2.0 kind of thing, and you know, maybe we should trade him. I have from the get-go said he has sky high potential. He's very good. Could he be an all-star? Probably. Will he be an all-star? I don't know. I would love to see him be an all-star. So for me, I wouldn't say it changes my idea on his potential. I mean, we already know he can score with the best of them, and seeing it happen was so fun to see. It may, honestly, the scoring not necessarily is what changed my mind on him as much as how much better he, and even like I said before, it's not much better, but how much better he's been defensively and the plays he's made defensively has given me a little more hope that if we do decide to keep him, I already thought it was going to be better than Dame and CJ, but it kind of gives me hope to know that it is already better than Dame and CJ. What about for you?
Yeah, I don't think it changed my opinion of him too much. If anything, it brought it back to where it used to be, because I was, you know, I tried to keep level-headed, but those first three games were so bad from him that I was, you know, starting to, you know, my opinion was starting to get affected. So that kind of just stabilized it, if anything. But like you said, we already knew he can score, so that was nothing new. It was definitely more impressive than anything he's done before, but I think ultimately it wasn't, you know, like we knew that was in his bag. He just hadn't pulled it out until last night.
Yep. Rip City said, what roster changes do we have to make, if any? Right now, I don't know if there is any roster changes besides maybe trying to find a backup center. And I think that's kind of been the saying for a while now. Is there any roster changes in your opinion?
It's too early to say. We need a lot more, maybe even not more than 20 games.
Sorry, I have a lot of messages here, so I'm trying to find all the questions. We got N4, if you guys remember N4 from the draft preview where he kind of came in and talked about all these players. He said, can you discuss how awesome my Pelicans are? Hell no. Although I do think they just came back and beat the Mavs tonight. Yeah. So good on you.
Hey, Pelicans. Honestly, I've been liking the Pelicans a lot this season. I think they've been.
There's nothing. Yeah, nothing against the Pelicans. Nothing against the Pelicans. Zion's fun to watch. Unfortunately,
he once again got hurt. B.I. is fun to watch. CJ obviously is extremely fun to watch.
Ingram is a lot of fun to watch. But he did say, how is Shaedon Sharpe looking? Do you expect him to contribute minutes during the playoffs?
Okay, thank you for saying playoffs, because in his message he said yoffs, and I've been trying to not validate that in any way. Don't, so thank you for that.
The Zers, when people call it the Zers and the yoffs, that's not coming out of my mouth. Shaedon Sharpe has looked very good, honestly. Like, I'm surprised at what I've seen. I'm happy with what I've seen. His shot is so smooth. Everything is effortless. He like glides through the air. He makes up ground so quick. He can jump out of the gym. We've seen a number of alley-oops. We've seen a number of dunks. Defensively, he's playing very good defense. So to me, Sharps looked very good. And the playoffs, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's going to depend on if we make the playoffs. Second off, are there injuries? Or third, if he continues to progress the way he's progressing, I think we would. But I mean, as it stands right now, I don't think so. But that's not a knock on him. I just think we're going to have too many players that are helping the team to be able to put him in. And I think this is something we can talk about real quick. When Gary Payton comes back, I think we're going to see less Shaden Sharp.
I was just going to say that. Like, I don't know. He's been great, but I don't know if he's going to keep his minutes when Gary Payton comes back, let alone the playoffs. So.
Yeah, and then if any injury were to happen to anybody, pretty much you can plug Shaden Sharp in 1 through 3, essentially. So that's my guess. The last question I see here, and if I did miss someone's question, I apologize. There's one little quick question. Area 50 also asked why we still don't have a G League team. Me and Fawad looked into it. There's only two teams in the NBA that don't. We're one of them, and the Phoenix Suns are the other. I couldn't tell you why we don't have a G League team. It'd be nice to.
I think, was it Stotts a few years ago who said, you know, one of the biggest reasons is they want if they do have the G League team, they would want it to be near the main team so they can, you know, their two-way guys can practice with the main team on short notice. And that's, mm-hmm. like, been one of the biggest hurdles. So I think, you know, if they can figure out a place to put them, it might be more likely. But I think that's been the bigger holdup. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's just start our own G League team. We'll just make our own. Last question from Vibin. Is it time to overreact to the 4-0 start? Being as unbiased as we can, and I truly try to be as unbiased as we can. I overreact. It's fun to overreact, but overreact knowing that it most likely is just overreaction. We're not going 82-0. We're not going 72-10. I would be surprised if we went 62-20. So I think, is it time to overreact? I think it was time to overreact when we went 1-0. But just know that it's not going to last, and it very well could go south quick, and it could very well keep continuing, and just enjoy it while you can. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, I try not to overreact. Like you said, enjoy it while you can. I take each, you know, win for what it is. But we don't overreact either in either direction. Like, after that terrible preseason, we weren't one of those people saying that Chauncey's, like, the worst coach in the league and he should be fired immediately. We were still keeping an open mind. So, you know, we weren't overreacting then, and we're not overreacting now. So, just wait, play the waiting game, see how it plays out.
I do like this version much better, though. 4-0 is a lot more fun than 0-4.
Yeah, if you are going to overreact in this direction.
Yeah, right. Fawad, there's something you wanted to talk about. We haven't talked about it actually at all, I don't believe.
Yeah,
Fawad,
but really go quickly, for it. I just thought of one last question to ask you.
Oh, sure.
It's been a pretty positive. It's been a positive week and a positive episode. So let's, you know, speaking of overreacting, let's come down to earth just a little bit. What's your one biggest concern moving forward?
I think my biggest concern is going to be our defense. It's such a change, like such a drastic change. Like I have a feeling of very soon it's going to kind of revert back to a little less, and maybe Hart and Grant really don't let that happen. And by the time Payton gets back, but for me, my biggest concern would just be our defense starts to kind of get a little worse, and you know, maybe we lose a couple close games or give up a couple leads and people start losing their minds and saying it's, you know, this 4-0 start all of a sudden doesn't even exist anymore and everything's doom and gloom again. So for me, that's mine.
Yeah, I think that would probably be mine as well. But honorable mention to Nurk. You know, I've always been a Nurk defender, but his inconsistency, even though he's had some really great games and moments this season so far, but we need him to be 2019 Nurk if we want to have like a serious chance of getting far in the playoffs.
Well, no, I mean, you're spot on. If we have 2019 Nurk, this game over. That is, yeah, we are rolling on all cylinders. Right now, our starters are all averaging double digits, playing good defense. Like we've said a million times this episode, it's only four games into the season, so, you know, look into it as much as you want. But like you just said, if Nurk can go back to 2019 before he broke his leg, Nurk, whoo-wee, we got a team.
If you give us 2019 Nurk, that's 70 wins, 16-0 in the playoffs, guaranteed.
Hey, I like it. Nurk has offensively, he's struggled. I will say this, defensively and rebounding-wise, he has been, rebounding-wise especially, he's been very good rebounding-wise. Defensively, he's been pretty good as well. Offensively, once again, he's struggling in the paint. Like these little quick little flip shots he tries to do constantly. I saw someone tweet, it was so funny. They said, "I'm gonna shove that little flip shot up Nurk's ass," or something like that. It was so funny. I was like, it's so frustrating. He's so big, he's so strong, he's so powerful. He can like just manhandle a lot of people, and it's for some reason he tries to finesse so much. But no, I agree with you. That's another thing we have to kind of worry about. But back to what we were going to talk about real quick. You had something you wanted to kind of bring up. We haven't really done much with it yet, but the plan is to start doing stuff with it. So go for it.
Yeah, a couple months ago, we created an Instagram account. We haven't done much with it. I think I have one post on there, which was just a clip of one of our podcasts. But, you know, now that the season has started, we want to start using that a lot more. So do follow us on there. The @ is @ Unbiased Trailblazers. Just, you know, very simple. Just follow us. It's the same logo we have everywhere. And we'll start posting on there very soon. And hopefully we'll do like post-game recaps and, you know, we'll try to think of other stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. Fawad's been, he's probably going to be the, I'm not a big social media fan, so it's crazy how much I actually do Twitter because I don't even do that often. So usually when I'm on Twitter, it is solely for us. Like, I hardly ever get on Twitter for anything else. So Fawad's going to be running a lot of the Instagram stuff, but I'm excited because I think it is a good thing to have.
Honestly, I'm not a big social media guy either, but I will try my best.
Yeah.
Bear with us at the start as well.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up? This might be one of the longest podcasts we've had.
I think it's definitely a top three, probably number one, longest non-listener podcast and non-interview. Yes, very true.
It was a fun one, though. I enjoyed our talks.
It was, you know.
Yeah, we're at an hour right now. Holy cow!
Blazers basketball is back. What do you want us to do? We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we've been waiting. The game is back.
It puts a smile on my face.
It should. It should put a smile on everyone's face. It's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to say, if you guys haven't joined our Discord, you're missing out. I can't stress that enough. Not only do we have Discord, you know, with us, but there's other podcasts that have their own Discord, and we all kind of combine together and just have a good time. So if you have not joined our podcast or our Discord, you're missing out. They're so much fun. Other than that, Fawad, once again, thinking of you and your family.
Thank you.
You know, just keep on pushing on through the days, and it will get better. It's hard, but it will get better. And, you know, we're just thinking of you. Yeah, tough times. But thankfully, the Blazers are 4-0 to kind of help you a little bit through it. And we got a game tomorrow against Miami. It's going to be a fun one. I'm going to try to stream the game, so at least someone will be streaming the game, hopefully. So if you're listening and you can't watch it tomorrow, it'll be in our Discord most likely. Other than that, anything you want to add, Fawad?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Thanks for everybody for listening. And as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.